Well, I think we finished up Christ taking the question about the name of the church and turning it into an opportunity to talk about, to not talk about, instruct on the gospel and on what it is, what it's about. Faith in Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. And I know I still need a lot of work. I get upset. I say things that shouldn't be said. And my wonderful wife hangs in there. I put up with all this. I don't know. I'll try to make it worth your while. Oh, Lauren Chrisline. So. A lot to be done. In the personal development department. Well, regardless, I remember when I was younger, the detractors of the church and the Book of Mormon were enamored of bringing up, you know, the scripture in Deuteronomy and then a scripture in Revelation that said, you know, don't add to or take away from anything in this book. And they were saying that that was, you know, that the Bible was all there was ever going to be, and that anything else was just full of falsehoods. And I'm not saying that I'm up on any of it, but I just haven't heard these kinds of attitudes much anymore. Gone on to other things. But I was thinking about that in relation to the gospel, because Christ is very poignant about that. This is the the sum total of the gospel. Now, that isn't to say that there isn't more available to people. And the Book of Mormon is interesting because it'll bring up that there was more said, but they were commanded not to write it. Brings to mind for me things that get taught and are done in the temple. And what that another one of the detractions from telling people the church can't possibly be true temple ordinances. But when you ask himself, what does what about this concept and that concept? And they go, well, it's not in there. And they go, yeah, it's true. It's not. There are circumstances in the scriptures where people say that they're their mouth has been shut there. Things like that. And I think that has to do somewhat, you know, and these are people that are purported to be righteous. This one fellow these days, he's very, very poignant. One of his big things is full disclosure. And he's upset at the church because things like what goes on in the temple, stuff like that, not fully disclosed. When you take the missionary lessons, they do not teach you everything. I say it's really not terribly necessary. Because people are, you know, from those who are against the church, they will gladly tell you anything that you want to know. In the interest of dissuading you from having anything to do with the church. And you go, see, I says, I don't have to, there's no need for full disclosure because it's already available. You can have it if you really want it. Says, just know that this comes from people who whether for private grievances or for just a sense of being altruistic, sharing their angst or what thought process they went through to finally decide that they weren't going to have anything to do with the LDS Church for one reason or another. Some of them do it about the money, you know, the tithing and donations that you want to make. How rich the church is, and you go, well, you know, every adherent gives 10% of their income annually, or 10% of their income period. I don't wait for the annual stuff. That's a big old hunk of thing. I give my tithing with every paycheck. Stay ahead of it. But regardless, anyway, so, and I'm not, God doesn't appear to be a person of full disclosure anyway. You know, do you know exactly how the celestial kingdom is going to be like? You know, my own personal thing, that it's kind of a Downton Abbey sort of thing, the separation between the family, the staff, and the village. When we talk about the 3 degrees of the celestial kingdom, it seems to fit well enough that it works. Now, you know, it becomes this whole thing of, you know, some people have a real problem with aristocracy. And can I be honest? Christ didn't appear to care about aristocracy. You know, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. And most people would say, well, Caesar doesn't deserve all this. He came in, he conquered us, you know. Trying to be about law and order, and the Jews weren't having it. You know, they didn't like the Roman version of law and order. Not that they were all that great with their own, you know, the temple guards, stuff like that, were just as tricky to deal with as anything else. Rome gave a reasonable amount of autonomy. Now, I'm not saying they were good or wonderful or anything like that, except to say that Christ didn't have a problem with paying his taxes. Did so in a miraculous way, in fact. And so, you know, now, he said how difficult it was for a rich man to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You know, the story of the camel going through the eye of a needle. And of course, everybody says, well, you know, it's one of the gates into Jerusalem. And it was really difficult to get a camel to go through there because it was so small, apparently just for pedestrian traffic. And, gave us the story to the rich man who had been trying to keep all the commandments all his life and did good. And he says, what more do I need to do? And he says, well, you need to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And we get the vision of the heavenly precincts being a place where those who have share with those who have not, so all can have. And this is all, and this is the way it's supposed to be. I know that seems to denote some kind of socialism. I think socialism is a telestial, perhaps a terrestrial state. I wouldn't want to think that it was so forced in the terrestrial kingdom. The whole idea of a utopia is interesting because it ends up being you need a certain sort of people to accomplish that. And in a telestial circumstance as we are in now, it falls apart. The whole thing about socialism is everybody needs to be a part of it for it to even begin to work. Because there's going to be so many people that don't really contribute. It's not, and some of them are because they don't want to. They find ways to hide things. There's plenty of that. Says, but there are some who just can't, for one reason or another. You know, handicap, things like that. And that's fine. But yeah, the celestial precincts, you know, imagine you had a Lord Grantham figure. Well, he's going to be a god, number one. But he's not a god because, you know, because of some birthright and stuff like that. He's had to live on Earth, prove himself worthy of this kind of an inheritance. It all comes from our Heavenly Father to us. And this is a certain amount of generosity. Not foolishly so, but you know, giving to those who need it. A village with a lot of sponsorships. You know, the rich people make sure that there's a hospital nearby that can take care of them when they get sick. Stuff like that. Now, of course, this isn't going to happen in the celestial realm. We don't get sick. Bodies are perfected. But things like that, the king, the Lord, out of their resources, which in the celestial realm are limitless, I would imagine. Where comes these things? The promise of baptism is salvation is is a rest from care. Now, anybody who gets up to a more aristocratic state there's still things to do. Things don't just happen magically. God had to organize the world, make it happen, spin on its axis. All these things that make the children's development possible. And this isn't just to snap your fingers and it's done type of thing. There appears to be a labor to it. Don't know how much, but and not everybody can do it, apparently. Like I said, it doesn't seem very magical. Anyway, so, and these aren't things that are discussed. There might be little hints of it here and there in Scripture. It's very confusing. It can be described in any number of ways. Christian friends seem to downplay, and that's fine. Or, they view it as intrinsically mystical. We don't know. We don't know about God. We don't know about anything. And you go, well, God's told us some things. And told us to be like Christ so that we can return to God. And add to that, becoming like Him, immortality and eternal life. The life that God has. And anyway, so this is what I've been thinking about, type of thing. I will talk to you later.